Peter here, doing the best I can under the circumstances. Yes, that reminds me of something Ray Prinzing always used to say. That's the Kingdom teacher I used to listen to in the 80s, had a bunch of his tapes, and he always used to use that phrase, under the circumstances. And he hated that phrase, under the circumstances. And he always said this, he said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Well, I know I'd like to be above them, but I mean, you know, it's like I'm feeling under the weather. Well, what are you doing under the weather? Well, okay, I'll get on an airplane and I'll go above the weather. But until then, I'm under it. And you know what? It's not a case of rising above your circumstances, because that almost sounds like a deliverance ministry. Now, I don't think Ray meant it literally, where you just aren't affected by these things. I think to me, it's more of a Romans 8 thing where Paul says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors in the circumstances. None of us get out of them. As you know, the verse that says, God will not allow you to be tried above what you are able, but with the trial will provide a way of escape, says the King James Version. No. Concordance says we'll provide the sequel, the outstepping, so that you can see what the future is. That's the whole thing I've been talking about in my Romans series. The outstepping, the sequel. You can see where this thing's going to end. You concentrate on resurrection, and you can glory in resurrection years before you are resurrected. So, when last I left you, we were discussing a marvelous thing, namely the last little bit of glee that the evil world will have over the persecution of God's saints. And it is when these morons of the end times in Jerusalem kill the two witnesses. The two witnesses are going to be slaughtered, and their corpses will lie in the streets for 3.5 days, and nobody will allow them to be entombed or buried. And that's not all. The worst of it is that the world celebrates and that they send presents to each other. It's like Christmas come to Jerusalem out of season. And I wonder if they'll have plastic snowmen, plastic Santa Clauses, tinsel everywhere, mistletoe, whatever. It's sick. All this over two dead bodies. And I love A.E. Knox's quote. I squeezed it in yesterday. I'm going to read it here so I can luxuriate upon it. These people think, of course, that they've snuffed out God. They've snuffed out the last trace, but they haven't. Here's A.E. Knox. This is the last of the world's good times. I like how he says good times. If you've ever seen a picture of A.E. Knox, he looks rather scholarly, and just the fact that he uses the phrase good times, it makes me happy. This is the last of the world's good times that we read of in Holy Writ. The last of the world's good times. Which is not to say, of course, he doesn't mean that when the world enters the kingdom, they're going to have good times. This is the last of their good times getting away with celebrating evil. People celebrate evil now, and it's going to come to a head, but that's going to be eliminated with instant justice in the kingdom. I go on. What gory glee is theirs who gloat over the murders that seem to silence the last whisper of divine interference in human affairs? There's a great sentence for you. Gory glee and gloat. They gloat over the murders that seem to silence the last whisper of divine interference in human affairs. Interference. It's like, I'm sorry, God, we just don't like your interference. Will you quit interfering in our affairs? Believe me, you want God to interfere with your affairs. People tell me, Martin, you know, I could give you some advice, but I could give you some help, but I don't want to bother you. I don't want to interfere. I know you're busy. I always tell people, interfere with me, please. Let's interface. I want the interference. Please bother me. If you have something to tell me, that's going to bless me. Now we get to the soup du jour here, which is this. Early expositors looking at this unveiling, those few among them who really wanted to take it literally, to follow the laws of language, which is literal if possible, they had a hard time with this passage. They must have, and this is why. Because Those out of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations are observing their corpses 3 days and a half, and they are not letting their corpses be placed in a tomb, and those dwelling on the earth are rejoicing over them and making merry. We're looking at the peoples and tribes of the entire earth. Those dwelling on the earth. How are they all knowing about this within 3.5 days? Because back in the days of yore, and when I say days of yore, I mean as recently as 1850, so certainly this includes eras before that, news did not travel very quickly. It took, during the Civil War, for instance, it took days for memos to reach people. Who's a genius that invented the telegraph? Samuel Morse? Yeah, Morse, that guy, I'll tell you what. And then there was Marconi, who invented the radio, which saved a few people on the Titanic, because old McBride, was his name, sent out the famous SOS message from the Titanic. Great inventions, but they didn't have these back in the days of the early expositors, and so they had to puzzle over this, and they probably were tempted, those among them who loved the literal word of God, to spiritualize this. How can the whole world, how can every tribe, people, languages be rejoicing over the two witnesses? Because they only have 3.5 days to party their fool heads off. Only 3.5 days. That's the thing. In the Civil War, when your loved one died, you didn't know about it for weeks, because the thing went by. You ever heard of the Pony Express, right? You know where the Pony Express got its name? They put mail on the back of a pony. So, I mean, if the sun blew up during the Civil War, they would know about that sooner than the information concerning their loved ones who were, you know, died in combat. Yeah, the sun blows up, we got 8 minutes. 8 minutes, we'll find that out. Isn't it interesting, though? The sun could blow up right now, and we wouldn't know it for 8 minutes, because that's how long it takes the light, at the speed of light, to reach our delicate eyes. So this really speaks to what I'm always telling you, that just because you can't figure out a certain thing, like, how could that be? It just is. You just have to trust it, that God is going to make it happen as it reads. And so now, of course, we know very well how this news could cover the earth in 3.5 days. 3.5 days, heck, try 3.5 seconds. And now it's humorous what A.E. Nock writes here, because he's writing in the 1930s. And he says this: early expositors who did not spiritualize everything in this unveiling might well stagger at the difficulty presented in the statement that those dwelling on the earth are rejoicing over the death of the two witnesses, when it all seems to occur within a few days' time. It certainly gives the impression that in less than 3 days the whole world knows of their death and celebrates it. Until lately, writes A.E. Nock, this was quite impossible. Now it is easily accomplished. And then he gives examples which are funny because of the progress we've made in communication from then until now. He talks about a station, must be in L.A. It looks like a ham radio station, 6BJX, he calls it. This station, 6BJX, at the insistence of one of the powerful broadcasting stations, has been helping to arrange for the simultaneous production of one program in practically every region on Earth, so that anyone, anywhere, will be able to listen to the voices of certain world celebrities. This was a big deal in 1930, whenever, that a voice could be transmitted to every country simultaneously. It was a big deal. The sound, he writes, will be carried to the remotest regions in a small fraction of a second. And certainly this was miraculous, just as every invention was in its day. The airplane, the telegraph, the telephone. Few of the world's recent inventions are so full of possibilities in connection with the great dominion of the end time. There it is. That is so true. The great dominion of the end time depends on instant communication. Unity. It's very hard to have unity when everyone is is fractured, when countries are isolated, no one can talk to another one instantaneously. But now, I have always believed that this was a number one big, huge sign of the end times and the one world government that must accompany the end times and the one world religion, this ability to communicate instantly. And it's gotten crazy how instant it is. It gets more instant every day and more widespread, more available every day. I mean, you've seen it. I used to drive down US 224 in Ohio, and I'll never forget, I saw this one house, and it looked like the house was like 150 years old. It was dilapidated, had garbage laying all around it. I don't know what kind of people lived there, but that's not my business. But the funny thing was, there was this giant satellite dish. This was in the days when those things were huge, you know, like you're talking to Martians. Anyway, there's a giant satellite dish that must have cost more than the house. So these people are in there laying around, so, you know, eating their whatever they eat, the bags of Fritos and donuts or whatever, watching television, and they're getting they're connected to the world. This little shack is connected to the world. And I doubt there are many shacks in the world. I know, I don't know what's going on. Deepest Africa, of course, there are poor people that don't have any of these things. I got a Western mindset. I apologize for that. Please excuse me. But what I'm saying is that more and more, not only is the technology becoming more impressive, speedier, but the places it reaches, you have to agree with me here, is increasing. And this is funny. Few of the world's recent inventions are so full of possibilities in connection with the great dominion of the end times. Exactly. The great monarch of that day should be able to communicate directly by word of mouth with all nations, all peoples, every individual on earth, and at a moment's notice. And then this. I'm going to end with this. This is hilarious. Give us a few years more, and he will be seen as well as heard. Seen as well as heard. This was not existent when A. Enoch wrote this book. Television, he writes, is a practical possibility. Yeah, is it ever? How about YouTube? How about Hulu.com? How about, yeah. Television is a practical possibility which merely needs to be developed. Even the two witnesses themselves, silent in death, may be shown upon a screen in every corner of the inhabitable earth. In fact, it is not at all impossible that an astonished world will gaze upon them as they are roused from death. Ooh, that gave me a little bit of a Pentecostal chill there. This information, ladies and gentlemen, will be mocked by those who spiritualize the unveiling of Jesus Christ. But for those who take God at his word, these are exciting times that for the first time in world history have allowed these things to transpire. And these things will transpire.